And there's just a few verses here, but they are powerful. And they have a lot to say in those short little verses that we have in this psalm. Psalm 68, we're going to start at verse 19 and go to verse 21. And God's word clearly says this. It says, "Praise be to the Lord, to the God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is the God who saves, from the sovereign Lord who comes, escape from death. Surely God will crush the heads of his enemies, the hairy crowns of those who go on in their sins." We praise God for his word and for what it means to us and those things. And so we ask that him to bless this word this morning. If you would, comes to lead us in. Young people with junior church are dismissed at this time. If you would turn again with me to the book of Psalm and chapter 68. We're going to focus primarily on that 19th verse, and actually one portion of that 19th verse. I've had three things that I felt the Lord leading me to, and yesterday Lynette called me around 2:30 or so, and we had to sleep over on Friday night with the teenagers, and so my mind wasn't exactly where it should be, and my mind wasn't exactly with me where it should be going to that sleepover on Friday night, but that's a different story. But she said, "What are you doing?" And, well, then she didn't put it that way, but, you know. And I said, "Just a minute." And I ran up and got the passages of Scripture that the Lord had laid in my heart, and I was sitting on the fence trying to figure out which of the three I wanted to do, and then all of a sudden this one just popped up and said, "Okay, this is the one I guess the Lord wants me to do today." And Randy's class, I said, "Randy, were we like talking to each other through this week? Because it was really similar to what the Lord had laid on my heart for this morning." And so so we go with that, and we trust God, and we know God has certain things in store for us. And so this passage of Scriptures, I'm going to focus on the verse 19, so just stay with there for a moment. It says, "Praise to the Lord, to the God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning and we think of this passage of Scripture and what it means for you to daily bear our burdens, what a relief that is for all of us. What a joy into understanding that and know what that means. And Father, right now I pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, that you'll help us to understand it, that you'll help us to put it into our lives and put it into perspective. And so, Father, we pray that you'll bless this, what we have to say to you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, "Who Bears Your Burdens?" because I don't think there's anybody in this room that does not have a burden. Or has never had a burden in their lives at one point in time. And we asked ourselves, well, who bears our burdens? Where do we go to when we have these burdens that we want to be relieved of, that we want support, some comfort from strength from? And so when we look at that word, bears our burdens, or daily bears our burdens, it's sort of like this chair. This chair is right now supporting all of my weight. There isn't any part of my body that is not being supported by this chair right now, right? When you came in this morning, you went to the pew, and you sat down in that pew, trusting that that pew would hold you, right? That it would support your weight. This chair is sort of like what this verse is telling us of God. That He supports our burdens. That He takes all of that burden, not some of it, not a little bit of it, but all of it, and holds on to it and carries it so that we can survive and cope with the burden. He doesn't take the burden away. I mean, it's not away completely, because we still have to deal with some of the residual effects of that burden. But He at least takes it so that we don't have to worry about it, or that we don't have to fret. And that's the great thing about God. I remember one church we were at, and we had old pews. And we kept telling the higher-ups, because everything we had to buy within the church had to go through a committee, and then through another committee, and through another committee. There were three committees that had to go through in order to get one thing done within the church. And at any time, one of those committees could say no. And we kept telling them, we need new pews in the sanctuary. They're falling apart. People, you know, we're holding them together with bubble gum and duct tape. It's unsafe. Somebody's going to get hurt. And one day, one of the higher-ups from the denomination came into the church, and he came to visit us and to just to worship with us that Sunday. And he went and he sat in one of the last pew in the sanctuary. And it was the worst one. We kept telling people, don't sit there. It's not safe. And before I could tell him, don't sit there, he sat down. Now, he was calorically challenged, to say the least bit. He sat down in that pew, and it collapsed, and there was a little boy sitting on, I'm not kidding you, a little boy sitting on this end, and that little boy flew over to the other side of the sanctuary. That's pretty much an exaggeration, but he flew up out of the chair after the pew collapsed. That Monday morning, I get a call from him saying, go ahead and order your pews. But this chair, those pews, you trust them to support your body when you sit down, don't you? Every time you come in, you know that they're not going to collapse. And it's the same thing with God. God supports us in our times of trouble and when our burdens. And when we need something and somebody to go to, God is always there for us to take care of us. There's two quotes that I had found when studying this. One of them is this: there is a hope that God's victory campaign will continue until the salvation of his people is complete. And in relation to this passage of Scripture, I found this. It says, there is a belief that God's entrance into Zion on the behalf of his people will result in complete destruction of his or her enemies. And what those two things are telling us is, if you understand what's happening prior to this being written by David, they were under some really, really, really tough attacks by an enemy. And that enemy was out to destroy them. And it's why David says that daily, God bears my burdens. Not my burdens, but our burdens, the nation of Israel. But we can also make that personal, that God bears our burdens and takes care of our burdens. And so it led me to ask myself a question: what enemy is causing burdens in your life right now? Are there enemies that are causing burdens in your life? And an enemy can be anything. An enemy can be anything that draws us away from God and our focus on God. Okay, so that enemy can be depression. That enemy can be something that's failed you or somebody that's failed you. That enemy could be alcohol. That enemy could be drugs. That enemy could be tobacco. That enemy could be anything that draws our attention away from God and our focus on God. I was reading my devotions this morning, and it actually goes along with Randy's class, the devotions that I use. And it talked about the worry, and they say that psychologists actually tell their people who worry all the time that they tell them to take a certain portion of the day and do all your worrying in that portion of the day, so that the remainder of your day is focused on what you need to focus on. And so when the enemy comes in and gives us these burdens that we have, and that he presents to us, whatever those enemies are, it draws our attention away from God, and it draws our attention away from what we are supposed to be doing for God. And so it's so important for us to understand that daily God bears our burdens. There isn't one burden that's too big for him. If we look at Psalm 55 and verse 22, and again in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, it says, cast all your cares upon him. And in 1 Peter it says, cast all your cares upon him. Why? because he cares about you. We go back to the chair. When I stood up on that chair, all of my body weight was on that chair. When we cast all of our cares upon God and put all of our burdens on him, we are giving him all of it. Not some of it, not a little bit of it. God, I'm going to let you take care of this portion of my burden, but I'm going to keep this one. Because I can handle this one. I can't handle this one. That's not what that passage of Scripture tells us. It tells us that we're to take that burden that we have. Actually, the word in Peter is anxiety, which is the same thing. We take all of our anxiety and all of our burden, and we give it over to God. Say, God, you take this. I can't deal with it. I can't handle it on my own. Even some of the things that we might be able to handle, we need to give those to God. Why? Because we go back to that idea that the enemy wants to keep us preoccupied with this burden so that we forget about what it is to serve God and to bring people into the kingdom of God. And if we're focused on that burden more than we are focused on God, we're not going to be productive for Him. That's why God says to us, give us your burden. Give me your burden. Randy gave us something this morning in Sunday school class, which I'm going to hang up in my house somewhere. Somewhere where I go all the time, probably the refrigerator. But it says this. Like I said, Randy and I, we didn't talk, but this fits right into what God had given me this morning. It says, good morning. This is God. I will be handling all of your problems today. I don't need your help. So have a nice day. That's what this passage of Scripture tells us, 1 Peter tells us, and all of that, that we need to give our burdens over to God. All of them. Not just a little bit, not just what we think God can handle. But it says in this little thing, I don't need your help. I can take care of it. And what's so amazing about God is He can take care of my burdens the same time He's taking care of Randy's. The same time He's taking care of John's. The same time He's taking care of Floyd's. God can take care of all of our problems at one time. And it's not overburdened for Him. And, not only that, He can still keep the universe spinning in exactly the way it's supposed to spin. That's how amazing our God is. So this passage of Scripture says that God wants to take care of our burdens. He wants to hold on to them for us. He wants to handle them. And like the chair, He wants us to give them all to Him and not just a little bit. If at any time I ever stood up on that chair and it collapsed, I would never stand on that chair again. Matter of fact, it would end up through the window and in the dumpster. God, over and over again in my life, and I'm sure that if we ask people in this room, that they'll say the same thing, that God has never been able not to handle one of my burdens. He has always been able to handle anything I have given to Him without any problems. And so it's important for us to understand who wants to take our burdens, who wants to handle our burdens. God does. And Psalm 68, verse 19, very clear on that, that He wants to handle our burdens. Why? Because God always keeps His promises. If we read in Genesis 17, chapter 17, and also again in Acts 3, verse 25, we read where God says that He made a promise to Abraham. At the time, Abram, but most people know him as Abraham. That He made a promise to Abraham that all that he saw, all that Abraham saw, was his. And that his children would outnumber the stars in the sky. And that his children would be the children of God. Later on in history, we find out that the children of God became the nation of Israel. And even to this day, God still keeps His promise in protecting Israel. Because God always keeps His promises. He never, ever backs down on them. When I say to somebody, I will do that for you. I will do my best to do that for them, whatever promise I have given to them. There has to be a very, very extenuating circumstance for me not to keep my promise. One of which is I'm dead. Can't keep my promise if I'm dead, so that's a little difficult. Or, you know, if something else happened. But I do my best to keep my promise to people that I make promises to. If I ever say to somebody, I will try my best to be there, then I'll try my best. If I don't make it, I don't make it. But if I make a promise to somebody that I'm going to be there for them, or that I'll be there to help them, or I'll pray for them, or whatever, I keep that promise to them because it's so important for me to do that. And God always keeps His promises. He made a covenant with Abraham in chapter 17. In Acts 3, verse 25, we read these words. It says this, "And you are heirs of the prophets, and of the covenant God made with your fathers, He said to Abraham, through your offspring all peoples on earth will be blessed." Who is He talking about? He's talking about us. Those of us who are not born of Jewish faith, are not born of Jewish, the Jewish background, but we are considered Gentiles. It says that we are included in that promise, in that covenant that God made to Abraham so many years ago. And because of that, we can stand on what Psalm 68 says, that our burdens will be taken care of by God. That we can cast our cares upon Him and He'll take care of them for us. This covenant promise that God had made in Numbers 25:12 talks about a peace that we will receive if we rest on that covenant. And all through Scripture we read in Judges chapter 2 verse 1, in Psalm 89 verse 28, and in Isaiah 59 verse 21, we read these words. That promise, that covenant that God had made with Israel, and God makes with us because we are now co-heirs, we are heirs with that promise, that God will never break that promise. That when God said to Abraham and to the nation of Israel, and He says to us today, that I will be there for you, and that I want to bear your burdens. So what burdens do you have that you need God to intervene in and take care of? One of the greatest burdens that all of us, those of us who've come to know Christ as our Savior, is that burden of death. And look at verse 20 of Psalm 68 and see what that says. Says this, "Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." That covenant that God had made so many years ago was for us to have salvation through His Messiah, which was Jesus. And we see in verse 20 that one of the burdens that God has lifted from us is that burden of death. When Jesus died on that cross at Calvary, the burden of death was lifted because of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We now have life through Him. That burden of where are we going to go after we die has been lifted because those of us who have accepted Christ as a Savior know where we're going, right? We're going to glory to be with Him. There's no doubt in our mind. Because God said, because Jesus said in the Scriptures that where I am, there you may be also. And that in my Father's house there's many rooms. And I go and prepare a place for you. For each of us. And that's a great thing that we have with our God. And we have to understand and we have to realize that in this time of Advent, where we come, and there's so many demands placed upon us in this time of the season, and we worry, and we wonder, and we fret, and we figure, and all of these things, and one of the highest times of anxiety and the highest times of depression are around this time period. Those of us who are believers and those of us who know God can take our burdens to Him and say, God, I need You to take care of this because I want to focus on what Christmas is really about. The kids are working on something for a couple Sundays from now, and it talks about... it's about the cross. It's not about all of the other things that come along with Christmas, but it's about the cross and about Christ's death on the cross and how His resurrection has given us the greatest gift of all, eternal life with Him. And so this morning, I asked you a simple question. What burden has the enemy placed on you? The enemy that you have. And yes, we all have an enemy called Satan. But what burden has been placed upon you that you need to say to God, I need you to take this burden. I need you to do, God, what Homer did with that chair. And I need to take all of my stuff and place it upon you and let you deal with it and let you worry about it and not try to do it myself. What burden do you have this morning that God can take away from you? There might be some people in this room who have never given the burden away of sin in their lives. And they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. And they've been trying to carry things on forever and ever by themselves and trying to deal with these things by themselves. And I got to tell you, those of you that are doing that, you'll never make it. There are people in this room who can tell you and be testimony to that, that God wants to take those sins in your lives and take them away, and that burden of sin in your life and take it away. Because it's so important that we do that and we understand that. And so I asked you those questions. Number one, what burden do you have that you need to give to God? And completely give to God, not just a little bit of it, not just a microcosm of it, but all of it. What is it that you need to give to God? And those of you who've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're struggling, and you're wondering why you're struggling, well, here's an opportunity for you to give that burden to God. To God, I want you to take this. I want you to do what you need to do with it. Because we know and we understand that God never breaks His promises. Scripture is clear to tell that if we come and we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to take those sins away. And so while we sing this hymn, I really feel that there are folks out there who have some burdens and have some things that they need to turn over to God this morning. And so we're going to take some time, and it might take us a little past where we need to, but that's okay because God's doing some work. But I'm going to invite you as we sing this hymn to come and to kneel and to give that burden over to God and fully give that burden over to God, whatever it may be, whatever the enemy is placing on you, whatever, if it's the fact that you need to accept Christ as your Savior for the first time, that's great. And so here's what we're going to do. If you need to accept Christ as your Savior for the first time, you've never done it before, I'm going to ask you to come over here to this side of the sanctuary and kneel. And someone will come and be glad to show you how to have that burden lifted by Jesus. If you have a burden that, you know, God, I've been trying to deal with this on my own, but it's just not working. I'm just not getting it. I need you to take this burden away from me. I now understand why I can't do it. Then I'd like you to come over here and kneel. And nobody's going to bother you over here. This is between you and God. But if that's what you would need to do, and while we sing this hymn, I'm going to invite you to come and do that. And kneel and give that burden over to God this morning. If you'd please stand as we turn to hymn number 351. And sing all three verses, and again, if you feel that you have a burden that you need to come and to lay at this altar, you come and do that. If you feel that you need to give your life to God and to take those burdens away that are just eating you alive, then you come and you kneel, and we're going to give that over to God this morning. And someone's going to come over here and work with you and pray with you and help you and lead you and guide you in where you need to go.